After a while, the door opened the merest slit. Through it, the occupant was scrutinizing the newcomer with evident suspicion, and all that could be seen of her in the darkness was her small, glittering eyes. Observing all the people on the landing, however, she took courage and opened the door the whole way. The young man stepped over the threshold into a dark hallway divided by a partition, behind which there was a tiny kitchen. The old woman stood in front of him, looking at him questioningly. She was a tiny, dried-up little old woman of about 60, with sharp, hostile eyes, a small, sharp nose, and no head covering. Her whitish hair, which had not much grey in it, was abundantly smeared with oil. Wound round her long, thin neck, which resembled the leg of a chicken, was an old flannel rag of some description, and from her shoulders, the heat notwithstanding, hung an utterly yellowed and moth-eaten fur jacket. Every moment or so the old woman coughed and groaned. The young man must have glanced at her in some special way, for her eyes suddenly flickered again with their erstwhile suspicion. "My name's Raskolnikov. I'm a student. I came to see you about a month ago," the young man muttered hastily, bowing slightly because he had recalled that he must be as courteous as possible.
"What's your business?"
snapped the little old woman, coming into the room and positioning herself in front of him as before, in order to be able to look him straight in the face. "I've got something I want to pawn. Here, look." And from his pocket he produced an old, flat, silver watch. Its back bore an engraving of a globe. The chain was of steel.
"But you haven't redeemed the thing you pawned last time yet. Your time limit ran out 2 days ago."
"I'll pay you another month's interest. Be patient."
"Dear, it's up to me whether I'm patient and whether I sell what you pawn this very day."
"How much will you give me for the watch, Alyona Ivanovna?"
"Well, dear, you come to me with such rubbish. It's practically worthless. I let you have 2 tickets for that ring last time, and you could buy one new at a jeweller's for a ruble 50.
"Let me have 4. I promise I'll redeem it. It belonged to my father. I'm expecting some money soon."
"Ruble 50? And the interest in advance is the best I can do."
"A ruble 50? The young man exclaimed.
"It's up to you."
The old woman handed his watch back to him. The young man took it, so angry that he nearly stormed out of the apartment. He at once had second thoughts, however, remembering that there was nowhere else he could try, and that in any case he had another purpose for his visit. "All right, go on then," he said roughly. The old woman reached into her pocket for her keys and went behind the curtain into the other room. Left alone in the middle of the room, the young man listened curiously, trying to work out what she was doing. He could hear her unlocking the chest of drawers. "It must be the top drawer," he thought. "So she keeps her keys in her right-hand pocket, all in one bunch, on a steel ring. And there's one key there that's bigger than all the others, 3 times the size with a notched bit. Can't be the one to the chest drawers, obviously. So there must be some kind of box or chest in there too. That's interesting. Chests often have keys like that. God, how dishonourable all this is." The old woman returned. "I may bring you something else in a day or two, Alyona Ivanovna. An item of silver, good quality, cigarette case. As soon as I get it from a friend of mine." He grew confused and fell silent.
"Right you are then, dear. We'll talk about it when you come again."
Goodbye then. "I say, do you spend all the time alone here? Isn't your sister around?" he asked as casually as he could, going out into the hallway.
"What would you be wanting with her, dear?"
"Well, nothing in particular. I was simply asking. I mean, just now, you... Goodbye, Alyona Ivanovna." Raskolnikov went out feeling decidedly confused. The confusion got worse and worse. As he descended the stairs, he even stopped several times, as though he had been struck by some sudden thought. And at last, when he was out on the street, he exclaimed, "Oh, God, how loathsome all this is. Could I really? No, it's nonsensical. It's absurd," he added firmly. "Could I really ever have contemplated such a monstrous act? It shows what filth my heart is capable of, though. Yes,